The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
When Jesus
live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting live and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. If you'd like to watch today's program, just go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Today, always starting with something that empowers the healing process. The latest on the most scientifically based reasons why you should make healthier choices about how old do you feel inside and what you can do to change your biological aging. Eating your green vegetables does a lot for your immune system. I'll bring you up to date on that. And depression. Well, what can we do at this time of year when some people are feeling the blues and it may not be based on any biochemistry? My guest in the second part of our program would be Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He is a board-certified family physician. We're going to talk about essential food nutrients, functional foods, for building and restoring your body's immune defenses. Our issue segment of our program today, the price of power. Congressional leaders actually position how much money they're willing to spend in order to get certain positions of authority. You'll be surprised at what's been going on in full light. This is research from Tom Ferguson from the Washington Spectator, but it's accurate. We've independently confirmed it. You would never have thought that this is how they get to head committees in Congress, but we have the exclusive on that for you. Also, today's New York Times and the New York Post both came out suggesting that, well, there's really no proof in the New York Post that hydrofracking is bad, and that those who think it's bad, we're just interfering in good business practices and putting those 77,000 separate wells in New York State alone would be good for the economy. No, it won't. And I'll explain why. And to the reporters at the New York Times, I don't have a problem with you suggesting that there is a debate with two sides. But I also know that you have the resources that had you chosen to be independent and not accept an official response as a legitimate response, you would have done your homework to see that there is no argument. Closing Indian Point is the only thing to do, and that we can replace with cleaner, safer energy immediately. The actual scientific evidence on that and the scientific evidence against hydrofracking. The latest from our environmental on severe drought. And I've been suggesting now for more than 2 years on a regular basis that we should have a national campaign to galvanize students to challenge the legitimacy of the laws that were in place, mainly spearheaded by, at that time, Senator Dodd from Connecticut, that made it impossible for you to file bankruptcy if you have a student loan. In all of the cases, if you are so far in debt that your liabilities far exceed your assets, and there's no reasonable way you're going to get out of that debt, then you can go through a structured bankruptcy and have some of that debt forgiven and others delayed, or a structured repayment program that does not overburden you. Not when it comes to student debt. In fact, just the contrary. The moment you graduate, you start paying more interest. If you miss a payment, it now kicks into an accelerated, very high interest rate. And if you're late on those payments and you do not make the full payment, you go to another compounding interest. You literally could pay twice what you owe in interest alone. And if you do not pay your student loan, you can be jailed. A SWAT team, fully armed SWAT team, broke down the door, terrified two young children and a husband because they were there for his wife, who had not paid her student loan in 6 months. That's in California. That's a matter of record. So that's how we deal with someone who cannot pay a loan. I have suggested that, first of all, understand what is going on. Last night, on my way back from a lecture out of town, I heard an ad for a commercial. And it's one of these great commercials that if you use their credit card, you get 1% back. And look at all the things you can buy with that money you get back. And people are happy to be using their credit card because they're getting 1% back. The average interest on that, even if you pay on time, is 29%. So let's do the math. You get 1%, they still get 28%. 28%, 1%. They borrow the money from the Federal Reserve, so you could have your 1% back. They pay zero interest. You're giving them 2,800% profit. That's the kind of thing that people don't think about. They also don't look on their new debit card applications from Wells Fargo to see how much interest you can pay if you're late. You can pay over 1,000% interest. So the very basis in our society of paying these usurious rates are wrong. And the only message we can send to a completely purchased and corrupt Congress, both Democrat and Republican, with few exceptions, is to eliminate, once and for all student debt, and start fresh, and that allow no credit card company in the United States, no bank, no lending institution, no bank of these check cashing services to charge more than 2%. 2% is a reasonable interest. Forgive all late payments interest, and then you have a way of helping change the pressure that the students are under. Because otherwise, right now, we have debt peonage. The student graduating today, the average student with a four-year degree will have $25,000, a master's $75,000, and a doctorate to a medical degree between $100,000 to $200,000 in debt, and they don't have jobs, and they're broke, and frequently their parents have had to co-sign on those student loans, and they can't get out of it. All of this is stacked against the student. Let's clean it up. Get rid of it. The banks will not suffer at all. After all, no bank, no large bank, can fail anymore, ever. The Federal Reserve has shown its complete and total disregard for any legitimate process. They bail them out in secret to the tune of trillions of dollars. So let's do something good for the student. Let's go and imagine that. And now it seems that this message is carrying on, because every time and 21 times that I've gone down to Wall Street and all throughout Washington, D.C., at the movement there, I keep asking them, you have millions of students, demand a general strike, get the teachers, the professors on your side, close down the institutions until such time that some form of democratic reform actually comes to the institution, and hopefully that'll be channeled. But now someone's actually doing something, and I'll talk about this on today's show if time permits, if not on my next show. Now let's go to, and by the way, I will be creating a list of things that we as a nation should do. I hope that many of you who support, as I do, the movements that are out there, but I support it not unconditionally. My hope is that the people who are in the streets and angry will be able to take that anger and put that anger into very specific, constructive issues, and then align themselves with the people who are already out there working on their behalf for long times, environmental, green, constitutional, libertarian, whatever it is that you want to align with, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, and your anger will then be a part of a movable power structure to challenge the existing power structure. Otherwise, if you had 100 million angry people, it won't change anything if you don't have something directed to in a constructive way that is more positive than the anger that you're displaying. So we're going to give you all the different things you can align yourself with. Every single major movement in the world we are going to list. The organizations, the phone numbers, the emails. We'll have articles by the thousands, videos by the hundreds. We'll have political action groups and we'll have social action groups. So if you say, I'm mad as hell about student loans, we'll get you into where we can have laws passed to do something about student loans. I'm mad as hell about no jobs, then we'll get you into an organization or organizations dealing with that. So no matter what your grievance, no matter what your anger, no matter what your pain and suffering, we will show you that there is an enormous movement, frequently unknown, that has been there and working diligently. Align with that, and a lot of good can come. An enormous amount of good. Now to our health and nutrition issues. As you know, I'm a big believer in eating your greens, drinking your greens. Just before this show, I always have a nice green juice. The energy, the chlorophyll energizes the brain. It does a lot more. Now it's not me saying this. This is mainstream science. This is reported in today's Science Daily. And this is published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell. Here's what it says. Eating green veggies improves immune defense. Researchers reported online in the journal Cell that they have found another good reason to eat your green vegetables. It turns out that the green vegetables from bok choy to broccoli are the sources of a chemical signal that is important to a fully functioning immune system. They do this by ensuring the immune cells in the gut and the skin, known as intraepithelial lymphocytes, function properly. So if you want healthy skin, if you want a healthy immune system, it's got to be in the gut. Long time ago, in one of my very first interviews, I interviewed a man who was a physician, and he said he came from the old school. He was about 80 when I interviewed him. I was like 22. And he said, the immune system is in your gut. And he explained it this way, and he was absolutely correct. When you eat something, whatever you eat has to be processed. If there's bacteria and viruses in there, if there are parasites, your body has to recognize these, signal other cells, so that when any of that toxic material comes through your intestine and would otherwise go unimpeded right into your bloodstream, the cells are right there to engulf them. Process called phagocytosis. So by keeping your intestine clean, you keep your immune system healthy. But if you're eating hot dogs and hamburgers and coffee and colas and alcohol, then there's a bunch of toxins that get into the intestine and then come into the bloodstream. And then your whole immune system is overwhelmed. Up to 60% of your body's entire immune system is around your gastrointestinal tract. And it's trying to stop these toxins from getting into the bloodstream. Now, think of all the local focal infections that you don't even think about, aren't aware exist, like in your mouth. When was the last time you went to the dentist and found you had receding gums? You had a little puffiness under the gums. In the morning when you brush your teeth or floss, do you see any blood, a little bit of blood? You have infections. And that means that you now have to have part of your body's immune system in the mouth, because there are viruses in the mouth, in infected gums, like cytomegalovirus, that can travel to the heart and actually cause heart attacks and heart disease. What about those inflammation sources in your joints? You thought it was just arthritis. No, arthritis is what we call it. Inflammation is its cause. So any pro-inflammatory agents like coffee or soft drinks that you're eating cause inflammation. But now, once again, immune system has to go to your joints. What about the inflammation in your brain from the alcohol you've eaten, or in your lungs from the chemicals you breathed? What about the bleach in the clothes that you washed with? All of that causes inflammation on the skin. That means that you have to have immune system working in your skin. Well, there's just more need for your immune system around the average body than there is immune system to get there. And that means less of the immune system is around your gut, which means you're more likely you're going to suffer from autotoxemia, because you're not able to prevent this from getting from the gut into the system. However, when you detoxify, which is the very first thing I do with every person I see, I put them on a detoxification program, I flood their body with chlorophyll. I flood it with green chlorophyll to chelate out and purify the blood and stimulate healing of the local focal infections. I'll get their bad teeth cleaned up and gums cleaned up through holistic dentistry. I'll use different modalities, whether it's ozone therapy, which is great for detoxifying the body, or whether it's chelation or vitamin drips, herbs, botanicals, homeopathy, Ayurvedic. I use it all, and different with each person. But in about 3 months, the person's eyes start to clear, their tongue starts to clear. They say things odd, like, gee whiz, my partner told me that I don't have morning breath anymore. What's that mean? Well, it means most people wake up in the morning and breathe, and they could peel the paint off a truck. I mean, it tastes like a little army marched around on your tongue all night with dirty boots. I mean, most people don't realize all that mucus and guck that they cough up and hack out and spit in the sink. Boy, that's nice. That enhances romanticism, right? I don't care how many roses you're carrying, so a man, if your breath smells like the back end of a rooster's rump, then you're in trouble. Most people don't realize how, because you don't smell your own breath, but everyone else does. And then all that little mucus going boing, boing, boing between your lips. Oh, God. So when you clean up your body, you're cleaning up your tongue. And when you scrape your tongue, and always use mouthwash before you go to bed and gargle properly, and then clean the tongue, and that a good oral hygiene will keep it clean. Then having a good oral environment means you don't have all that bacteria proliferating. Because you have any bacteria between your teeth and your gums, all night long that bacteria is proliferating. Now you have allergens, so you have mucus coming out of your nose. So the mucus with bacteria comes out of the back of your throat, and as it comes down your throat, drips out of your nasal passages in the back of your throat, as you exhale, the breath, the air goes past that dripping bacteria mucus, and you breathe it out, and the bad bacteria in your sinuses are what someone's breathing. If you could open up the average person's skull and see how much pus and mucus are in all your sinus cavities, you would just be appalled, and you'd say, how'd I get that? Well, try the dairy. Oh, you mean the same dairy we tell you get rid of, and all the other sugar, get rid of it? Ah, now I see. So if I want to really know if I'm getting healthy, I should have clean breath. You bet. No bacteria in the throat. Absolutely. No sinuses filled with mucus. That's it. Now you got the ticket. And all that means I have a healthier intestine without the meat rotting. Yeah. Now, there was a good movie on Sunday night. I like the zombie movies. And so I go out somewhere, they say, where are we going to go? We're going to go see a French intellectual film? No, we're going to go see a zombie film. Goodbye. No, leave the intellect at the door. Anyhow, I like that. I like zombie films and sci-fi films, if they're good. This was good. It's on one of the channels that just started a new season. And you think, well, gee whiz, what's a zombie? Well, they eat the flesh. Well, what do you do when you eat an animal? You're eating flesh. What's the difference between you and a zombie? Nothing, except your meat's dead. So think of ripping meat that's filled with blood and bacteria, none of which can be cleaned out by any method, including kosher method, because 90% of whatever is in the animal when the shock of death comes is locked in the cell. The cortisol is so high, the stress hormones, the shock of death locks in the blood. Well, the blood putrefies, and blood putrefying, you get that smell of death. So just imagine next time that you want to get yourself healthy, wouldn't it be good to stop the eating of the flesh? Because remember, you got blood going in. You don't want to be a vampire. You don't want to be a ghoul. You don't want to be a zombie. Why don't you just have a healthy gut? Clean gut. Clean it up. Vegan diet, healthy, raw, organic juices. Detoxify, clean that gut up. Then your immune system is freed up. Then you clean up the local focal infections. And guess what happens? You end up healthy. It's that simple. Now, how old do you feel inside? Well, those of us lucky enough to grow old must contend with the miserable stereotype of what it's like. The frailty, the forgetfulness, the early bird specials. Now, this is from the Chicago Tribune. Quote, but aging, as in many things, attitude can make all the difference. Research has shown that how people feel inside and their expectations, their capabilities, can have a greater impact on health and happiness and even longevity than the date on their birth certificates. In her seminal counterclockwise study in 1979, Harvard University psychologist Ellen Langer brought men in their 70s and 80s to a week-long retreat that was retrofitted. Now, I thought this was really cool. They only played music from the 1950s, and they had newspapers from the 1950s. The whole look of the place and the feel was 1950s. And one group of men was told to reminisce about the era. The other group was told to let themselves be who they were 20 years earlier. By the end of the experiment, both groups of men, who upon entering had been highly reliant on relatives and others to do things for them, were functioning independently, actively completing chores, and showed significant improvements in hearing, memory, strength, and intelligence tests. The group told to behave like they were 20 years younger also showed better dexterity, flexibility, looked younger, and according to outside observers who judged photos of the participants taken before and after the retreat, expectation, not biology, leads many elderly people to set physical limits on themselves. They assume they'll fall apart, so they fall apart. Quote, what we want to do is not get older people to think of themselves as young, but to change their mindsets about what it means to be older. And I think that is terrific. In fact, in this new sustainable green homestead village of the future, I'm going to set aside, first I'm setting aside a whole compound just for vets suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder who are homeless and who have Gulf War syndrome, to give them a way of reentering life and get them detoxed, helped, rebalanced, and I get them new careers. But I'm also going to set aside a village just for seniors who want to reverse their aging process, starting with how you become self-reliant again. This idea that we come into life with someone changing our diaper and go out with someone changing our diaper, that doesn't have to be. You literally, by changing your perception in an environment that is 100% supportive and positive, you can change your biology. You can change your DNA. I also want to do something I've had in the back of my mind for a long time. I just haven't had the circumstances to do it, but I'm going to create the circumstance to do it. I want to see if I could take a group of retired athletes in all different sports and have them come and stay 24/7 for 6 months. And in 6 months, I'll bet I can get them back into top playing shape. I believe that our athletes are clueless outside of physical performance of what their body needs and training the mind. I've always wanted to do that because I've helped, and I don't mention it, I won't mention the people. I've helped a lot of athletes have an extended lifespan. But I'd like to do it with some well-known athletes who are now selling insurance or doing nothing and get them just to show you can do it. Because once you show it can be done, then suddenly think of all the people who say, well, if they're an athlete and they can get back that ability and knock 20 years off their bottle, why can't I? And the answer is you can. But in our society, we need an opinion leader to do it, meaning we need someone, unfortunately, who's well-liked and well-known in a given sport who can suddenly say, I was retired 5 years, 10 years, and then I went through this intensive process, and I got my biochemistry young, and I got my mind sharp again, and gee whiz, I'm able to play again. Think of what that would do to help all the people otherwise facing dementia, Alzheimer's, heart disease, diabetes. We could help save millions upon tens of millions of people from otherwise the inevitable process of disease. I'm Gary Knoll. Now our analysis, and then a break, and then your comments. Please call in after this. This is the part of our program where we take on a social issue every day. And by the way, last evening, yesterday I was not able to get to my 9/11 comments. I did last evening on the Progressive Commentary Hour. What I did was this. For those who do not believe that there is any reason or legitimacy in challenging the official 9/11 report, I took 40 of the most qualified people in the United States, top people at the National Security Agency, the CIA, the FBI, the White House, the 9/11 Commission Chairman Keene himself. I took all these people who have very capable backgrounds, specifically in intelligence, and I took their individual quotes on the record that they stand behind and have not retracted, and I gave you their input, and all 40 said that the existing final 9/11 official report is wrong. And some of them were extremely damning, that it's a fraud, it's a cover-up, that there was a we knew about what was going to happen and actually allowed it to happen for what reasons, but they give you all this. So you're not dealing with a bunch of people who do not have an understanding and the capacity to reason on these. You're dealing with very high levels of forensic evidence these people have used. So that was last night. Also, uninterrupted for 35 minutes, Dr. Andrew Wakefield challenged the entire medical society that has dumped on him and showed that he and his group of 13 are the world's greatest experts on analysis of the intestines of children diagnosed with autism. We're able to show that it was because of a bad vaccines, the MMR vaccine. And that's why they attacked him. Because otherwise, they would have to acknowledge that they were using a dangerous vaccine that had a history of being dangerous. And what I didn't know this until last night, I didn't know that the vaccine that all these kids had been using was already 4 years earlier shown to be damaging, and they took it off the market around the world, but they simply relabeled it with a new name to hide the fact that it was a dangerous vaccine. Who knew this? We didn't know this till last night. Very powerful. And also the $600 trillion derivative bubble, a lot of other things were all last night. You can go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, download Progressive Commentary Hour from last night, and you can hear that. Now, here's our issue of the day. This is from Thomas Ferguson. And who is Thomas Ferguson? He is professor of political science, University of Massachusetts in Boston. He is also a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute. This is published in Alternate. I'll quote it verbatim. The following piece appears in the current issue of the Washington Spectator. Under the new rules for the election cycle, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee asked rank-and-file members to contribute $125,000 in dues and to raise an additional $75,000 for the party. Subcommittee chairpersons must contribute $150,000 in dues and raise an additional $100,000. Members who sit on the most powerful committees must contribute $200,000 and raise an additional $250,000. Subcommittee chairs on power committees and committee chairs for non-power committees must contribute $250,000 and raise an additional $250,000 for a half million. The five chairs of the Power Committee must contribute $500,000 and raise an additional $1 million, which is $1.5 million. House Majority Leader, House Majority Whip, and Democratic Caucus Chairman, in this case it was Ron Emanuel, must contribute $800,000 and raise $2.5 million each. The four Democrats who serve as part of the extended leadership must contribute $450,000 and raise $500,000, and the nine chief deputy whips must contribute $300,000 and raise $500,000. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi must contribute a staggering $800,000 and raise an additional $25 million. Now, did you know any of this? I didn't know this. No one knew this. Just imagine that today, being a millionaire in Congress is not special. Just about half of all members are one. The legislative process works less opportunistically, but the result is pretty much the same as it was throughout history. Legislative gridlock, punctuated by occasional blatant special interest legislation. Banks are rescued. The unemployed are left to their own devices. The housing market is left in free fall, with the bailout banks mostly left to call the tune on foreclosures, and they're increasing foreclosures. As national income stagnates, financiers submerge financial reforms and derivatives regulations under waves of campaign contributions. Meanwhile, a vast array of interested firms and investors dispatch armies of lobbyists to stymie congressional action on climate change, block the government from bargaining down prices on drugs paid for by federal health programs, and keep tax increases forever off the national agenda. We watch the news to see if congressional stalemates over deficits will lead to a government default that would throw world financial markets into turmoil or force draconian across-the-board budget cuts. But while we hold our breath, popular discussions about Congress have taken a curious turn. Pundits talk nostalgically about the good old days when representatives from the two parties regularly played golf together and compromised their differences in the name of a larger national interest. Today, such outcomes are said to be impossible, but why? The rivers of political money that now swirl 24/7 around Capitol Hill surely play a role in producing the great D.C. stalemate machine. Well, so now the new normal is, you actually, now listen carefully, you actually post the prices that are more likely to energize members of Congress to hunt up new sources of cash in hope of advancing their careers and winning re-election. The practice makes cash flow the basic determinant of the very structure of lawmaking. Instead of buffering at least some outside forces, congressional committees and party leadership posts the shape of political money. In our new gilded age, it is obvious where most of that comes from. The whole adds up to something far more sinister than the parts. Big interest groups, think finance, oil, pharmaceuticals, utilities, health insurance, can control the membership of the committee that writes the legislation that regulates them. Outside investors and interest groups also become decisive in resolving leadership struggles within the parties in Congress. You want your man or your woman in leadership on a committee? Okay, no problem. Just send the money, and lots of it. On the edges, of course, factors besides money still play some role, especially in ordinary committee assignments. But the new normal looks like this. The Democrats control the House. Their leadership slotted many junior representatives on the Financial Services Committee so they could haul in cash with both hands to enhance their prospects for re-election. All the money talked. Today, despite the passage of Dodd-Frank financial reforms, U.S. regulators can't tell which American financial houses are exposed to what risks if default by Greece knocks over one or another big European bank. But the real rub is the system in its centralized power in the hands of top congressional leaders. In the new pay-to-play system, individual representatives dole out contributions to their colleagues to gain support for their individual bids for key positions within each chamber. But the system also requires them to make large contributions to the House and Senate national campaign committees. These are normally controlled by congressional leaders in each chamber. Money talks. When cash is king, access to it is determined by who rules. The congressional party leadership controls the swelling bank accounts, the national campaign committees, and the huge fixed investments in polling, research, and media capabilities that these committees maintain. Resources the leaders use to bribe, cajole, or threaten candidates to toe the party line. This is especially true for open seat races where no incumbent is running. So that's that. Now, what that means is this. For the first time, we now are told that each member of Congress who wants any power at all must pay to play. Where do you get your money? From the very groups who are standing by 24/7 to give you any amount of money you want. You want $10 million? Nancy Pelosi had to come up with $25 million. She snaps her fingers. Her aide makes some calls. The pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, the very people who wrote the fraudulent, completely disgusting, totally perverted, absolutely asinine Obama health care plan, and shame on anyone who doesn't see the truth or take your time to do your own scholarship, will see this is a travesty. This bill should be destroyed. It should be burned in effigy in front of the U.S. Public Health Services because it does nothing whatsoever to help a single American get healthy, to stay healthy, to prevent disease, and to prevent death. It is nothing more than a $500 billion a year guarantee to the financial people who are there to write the checks. Know the truth is something, and suddenly your own pathetic little ideology suffers a massive hematoma. The truth is you have been bought and sold. The people in power have bought and sold their positions, and you thought they were going to be a good Republican or a good Democrat. No, they're just very expensive prostitutes. Far more than the $2,000 a night ones that they pay for. These are $25 million for running the house. And no one ever has a problem raising money. And then you have to vote for what you're told to. You're no longer independent. You're no longer free to think. But how do you get around this? You have to lie. You have to do that smooth shuffle, that soft, silky toe dance. You have to skate on a razor blade and not cut your soles. And you can do that if you're a politician because you master the art of manipulating people. And that's all that any of it represents. Your thoughts. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now you know why we were in Washington on Sunday in front of the White House. In the park across from the White House. And we went to all the parks to share the information that the reason that you will not in the future be able to have safe, non-genetically engineered food is because the members of Congress were bought. The committee heads were bought. Max Baucus was bought. That's how they got all these health care plans through. That's why the FDA is wanting to ban all vitamins. The people in positions of power were bought. We were there to prove this, challenge it, and start a nationwide campaign. The same is true on nuclear power. Do you think any reasonable person, after looking at the actual data of how dangerous nuclear is, would not immediately want to shut these places down, decommission them, and find the most appropriate ways of disposing of this so it no longer represented a peril to any of the communities around it? Absolutely they would. Did every single member of Congress get a copy of Knock on the Devil's Door? Twice. Did every governor? Yes. Did every single member of every state legislator? Yes. Did every member of the American media, 7,000 free documentaries went to them? Yes. Did a single one respond? Not one. How is it you can have 10,000 people receive a documentary, all of whom are policymakers, not a single person responds? Follow the money. Follow the power. It's all corrupt. You think you're going to reform this? You're naive. Wake up. You can't reform a system. You must deconstruct it and create a more ethical system in its place where money cannot buy you anything. Then you can start. Anyone who thinks that there's any reform at all, take a look at any of the reform legislation. The election reform, McCain, election reform didn't work. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform didn't stop a single thing from happening. It's all kabuki theater. Your thoughts. 888-874-4888. This is the part of our program where the lines go crazy. You have a chance to speak. After you speak, my guest, Joel Fuhrman, is coming at you. Just this. This is a letter, by the way, that we got from Goldman Sachs. And thank you from the Andy Bortz reports for sending it over from Goldman Sachs. Concerning Occupy Wall Street, quote, "Dear investor, up until now, Goldman Sachs has been silent on the subject of the protest movement known as Occupy Wall Street. That does not mean, however, that it has not been very much on our minds, as thousands have gathered in Lower Manhattan passively and passionately expressing their deep discontent with the status quo. We have taken note of these protests, and we have asked ourselves this question: how can we make money off of them? The answer is the newly launched Goldman Sachs Global Rage Fund, whose investment objective is to mobilize the Occupy Wall Street protest as they spread around the world. At Goldman, we recognize that the capitalist system as we know it is circling the toilet, but there's plenty of money to be made on the way down. The Rage Fund will seek out opportunities to invest in products that are poised to benefit from the spreading protests, from police batons and stun guns and pepper spray and barricades and forehead bandages. Furthermore, as clashes between police and protests turn ever more violent, we are making significant bets on companies that manufacture replacements for broken windows and overturned cars, as well as the raw materials necessary for the construction and incineration of effigies. It would be tempting at a time like this to say, let them eat cake. But at Goldman, we are actively seeking to corner the market in cake futures. We project that through our aggressive marketing manipulation, the price of a piece of cake will quadruple this year. Please contact your Goldman representative for full prospectus. As the world descends into a Darwinian free-for-all, the Goldman Sachs Rage Fund is a great way to tell the protesters, occupy this. We haven't felt this good about something since we sold our souls. Sincerely, Lloyd Blankfein, Chairman of Goldman Sachs. Back in a moment.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me? Has she pretend? Is this a game? Well, then will I win? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
I'd like to welcome you. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. And in a moment, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Joel Fuhrman about essential food nutrients, functional foods, to build your immune system and your immune defenses. But joining me in studio for a moment, and then we're going to go to your calls, and the board is lit up, is Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon, Gary. Just doing some research online and trying to, you know, continue to grow our station and stuff. While we're looking, we noticed that not only are we number one in Progressive with over 102 million searches daily, we are also number one in the liberal market, which has over 40 million. That means we're the number one station, both liberal and progressive, in the whole world. So not only are we continuing to grow, we're also the source for all the information on vaccines, fracking, nuclear power, health. We are the catalyst that is bringing the people all the info that is out there. So we would like to thank everyone. And just, we also have our ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, but we're also using PRN.FM to draw people to make it easier. So please use that as well, PRN.FM. And thank you for everyone. Well,
what we're doing as of today, we're selecting issues that are important to all of us with no political issues, just purely health and public service issues such as gas hydrofracking. All the articles and all the actual hard documents, ours are reviewed by a team of, as you know, we have scholars in residence here. Mm-hmm. And we look at, say, is this verifiable? Then those articles go up. So if you want to stop hydrofracking, you have all the articles. Same way with nuclear. You want to close down a nuclear plant? We have all the articles. Sure. Same way on vaccines. If you don't want your flu vaccine and you want to know why, we show you what's wrong with the flu vaccine, what's wrong with the Gardasil vaccine. And the same with any of the issues we take on, like genetic engineering. So we have all the articles and all the other sources so you can lend your support to those. So people are not just angry or frustrated. They can become very positive and proactive in helping resolve these. Okay. Now, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to tell you about, there's now word that the information we've been sharing constantly and even writing an article, why we should stop all student loans and eliminate them. Now there's a piece of legislation, and I'm going to get to this. And also, very quickly, some of the points about hydrofracking that you may not have known. First, it's harmful. The Center for Disease Control has a long list of toxic effects of the benzene that's used in hydrofracking. And the frack fluid contains hundreds of chemicals, many of which are highly toxic. And the use of diesel fuel in fracturing introduces benzene, toluene, and xylenes, into the underground source of drinking water. Now, the CDC's own site shows these are harmful to your bone marrow. They decrease in the red blood cells, leading to anemia. They cause excessive bleeding. It can affect your immune system. They increase the chance of infection. And the Department of Health and Human Services determined that benzene causes cancer. And long-term exposure to high levels of benzene causes leukemia. And toluene, T-O-L-U-E-N-E, it's also toxic. Short-term exposure at one part per million will cause nervous system disorders, fatigue, nausea, weakness, confusion. Long-term can impair speech, cause tremors, spasms, hearing loss, vision loss, memory loss, liver and kidney damage. And then ethyl benzene can cause drowsiness, fatigue, headache, mild eye and respiratory irritation, long-term effects, damage to your liver, kidney, central nervous system, and eyes. And xylene, according to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, causes gastrointestinal distress and toxic hepatitis. Now, mind you, there are over 200 chemicals used in fracking fluid. And Dr. Theon Colborn, an expert in endocrinology and toxicology and water chemistry, has been leading the effort to discover the secret chemicals employed in the gas drilling of hydrofracking. And he's testified before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. And it shows that we shouldn't have any of this in our system. So the next time you read a stupid article in the New York Post, is there any other? Understand that the truth is not on their side, and you'll have all the reasons why we should oppose hydrofracking on our website. Let's say hello to Bill from Long Island. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Hi, Bill.
Hi,
speak
Gary.
Up.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I would just like to talk about Bill Clinton for a second. It really literally gets me sick to my stomach every time I see him on TV and people praising him as one of the great presidents that did such great things for our economy. If you could point to one person who's responsible for the most damage to our economy, it would be Bill Clinton for signing the legislation dismantling the Glass-Steagall Act.
Also, for all of the rank-and-file union members, they can thank Clinton for being personally responsible, more than any other human being, for passing and paying legislators to support the passage of the NAFTA and GATT and our joining the World Trade Organization. But I would hold Ronald Reagan very responsible also, because they also started the process of deregulation. But Clinton is a master orator, but look at his record. Look at his record on the environment. I wrote an article challenging Gore on his record on the environment and asking him, do you have the courage to come forward and show that, yes, you did these things under Clinton, but you now renounce them? He refused to do that. So I thank you, Bill, for reminding us that we can like a person personally, but distance yourself from the policies that went against your own best interest. And let's say hello to Bill from New York. Bill, you're on. Hi, Bill. Speak up, please.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah.
I heard Webster Tarpley on your show, I'm pretty sure, a month or so ago. You're familiar with him, right?
Yes, I am.
And I was reading one of his books, Surviving the Cataclysm, and I was really, really quite surprised that he comes out very much in favor of nuclear. So I wrote to him, and he wrote back to me saying that China, India, Russia, Iran, the world wants modern nuclear. Those who fail to go nuclear at the state of art are doomed. Go nuclear or learn to take orders in Chinese.
That's correct, and he is wrong on that, but he has a right to be wrong. I challenged him, if you remember, on that issue, and But I believe it's a lack of information. We sent him over 100 articles showing the science behind being against nuclear. We sent him a copy of Knocking on the Devil's Door, and it's up to him to look at that information to decide he can change his mind and chooses to. He is right on other issues, as is Ron Paul. Ron Paul's right on some issues, important issues, like closing the Federal Reserve, you bet, getting out of wars, you bet, but he had been pro-nuclear. Hopefully, with new information, he will be anti-nuclear. Same with him. Let's say hello to John from New York. John, you're on.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
First of all, I want to thank you for the fantastic work that you do. A couple of things. One is a message to Bloomberg, because I've spent time at Wall Street, the demonstrations, and what I wanted to say to him is you can buy an election, but not our respect. Only after our constitutional rights of free speech and right to assemble are respected will we even begin to respect you. Also, I assume you know that the FBI recently either awarded a contract or decided that they were going to monitor talk radio, and I'm certain that it's to monitor stations like yours. So I want to...
Well, that's an understatement. I would be insulted if they didn't monitor us. Yeah. But first, you're giving the FBI far too much credit. How would they know how to find Progressive Radio Network? You first have to know how to spell it, and you have to know how to use a computer. These are idiots, all right? These are not. You don't end up there because you're the best and brightest and most ethical. But I thank you, John, for bringing that to our attention. We'll send the FBI how do you listen to the number one progressive radio program in the world. And they'll sit there saying, what is he saying? We don't understand any of this. Final call from Gerald from Atlanta. Hi, Gerald.
Hello, can you hear me?
Sure can, yes.
Okay, that statement you read from Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
That's a joke, isn't it? That's not really a
serious statement. Yeah, no, Gerald, it was a joke. You don't understand my West Virginia humor? It was a joke, all right?
Oh, okay, all right.
Thank you, Gerald. Let's go over and say hello to my guest, standing by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Hi, how are you today, Joel?
Oh, hi, Gary. I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on your show.
And Joel's also the author of Super Immunity. Now, Joel, I'm just going to ask you one question, and we're going to let you roll with the answer. We know that we need to strengthen our immune system. We know that none of the vaccines strengthen our immune system. We're coming into the influenza season again, and we're going to be bombarded with warnings of illness and serious complications unless everyone gets their flu vaccine. So let's begin by addressing the body's natural immune system to fight colds and viruses and the foods of choice to build our immune system to carry us through the flu season and to keep us healthy.
Well, thank you, Gary, and that's a critical point because the recent science has now elucidated that the same nutritional factors and phytochemicals that protect the body's, that strengthen and we should say normalize immune function to protect us against viruses and bacteria and microbes are the same functional nutrients that protect us against cancer, and we can win the war on breast cancer and prostate cancer and colon cancer today if people put this advice into action. And the second issue here is that the lack of phytochemicals and antioxidants in the diet also allow viruses to mutate into more dangerous forms while they're in the body. In other words, a harmless virus that would not even cause you to be sick or a very mild illness could then attack the heart or attack the nerves or denude the lung tissue. In other words, these viruses change, and these changes or mutations in the viruses are allowed by deficiencies of polyphenols, flavonoids, and isothiocyanates. So let me say this in more general terms, is that every cell in the body has the ability to keep free radicals in check. And the major free radical controller is the antioxidant response element in the cell. And the transcription proteins that enable that antioxidant response element to be produced are found in green vegetables. Without the consumption of green vegetables, we do not have an immune system that's functioning adequately. So we're saying here that we're finding out that even the isothiocyanates, these ITCs that are in the green cruciferous vegetable family, like broccoli and Brussels sprout and kale, seems to be a third arm of the immune system that we're talking about. The underneath the epithelial lining of the digestive tract is an immune system fueled and regulated by the consumption of these ITCs. In the cells, the NRF2 immune arm is fueled by the transcription proteins that don't work without the ITCs from green vegetables. Even in the heart, the genetic defects that lead to heart disease are completely and 100% shut down, as are genetic defects that lead to colon cancer and breast cancer, by the high consumption or adequate consumption of the ITCs. So we're saying here that Americans are, following the standard American diet, are completely and grossly immunodeficient, laying them exposed to a serious epidemic that's going to come in the next, 5 years that can really cause major deaths here. And we have to stop, and we're already having an epidemic of cancer that we could stop with good nutrition. And the secret anachronism that I've talked about in my book Superimmunity, and I'm telling people to memorize these most powerful anti-cancer foods, which include mushrooms and onions and beans. You know, we're talking about aromatase inhibition and angiogenesis inhibition in mushrooms. We're talking about the effects of lignans from beans and seeds. So we're saying here that GOMBS, or GOMS, GOMBS, greens, onions, mushrooms, beans, berries, and seeds, when you combine those foods with high immunologic nutritional properties, we can arm our immune system to the point to achieve what I'm calling superimmunity, which in reality is a great-sounding word, the name of the book, but it's really just normal immunity. It's immunity that we're supposed to have, that the body is a miraculous self-healing and self-protecting machine. We don't recognize how, you know, the power the body has to protect ourselves. And, of course, the American diet couldn't be better designed if it was sent to us by the Taliban. We're killing people because people are not eating a diet that's been designed for our species.
Good. Last question, then. Let's go through the most important functional foods that a person should, I believe, have. I'm saying 11 servings a day for ideal health. And take us through the ones that you feel are the superstars that, no matter what we do, try to get them in some form, juices, foods, powders, even frozen if it's not in season, you can buy organic.
Exactly.
And locally grown wherever possible, that we get this in our system each day.
Right, and that's exactly what I'm talking about here, and that's exactly what we talk about in my book, Superimmunity, the supplements, the foods. But clearly, the diet style of America has to change radically. And the number one food, which I'm mentioning, is green vegetables, especially the green cruciferous family that supply, you know, and those foods, of course, are broccoli and bok choy and kale and collards and Brussels sprouts and watercress and arugula. And, you know, there's a whole class of green vegetables that people have to eat every day. And the daily consumption of green vegetables are most important contributor to normal immune function. And the second thing is mushrooms. Mushrooms are an incredibly powerful immune food. They specifically protect women against breast cancer. Breast cancer is so critically protected because more women are getting it at younger ages, and younger age breast cancer is a more aggressive and devastating disease. And these mushrooms have these factors. We're talking about angiogenesis inhibitors that prevent the new growth of the abnormal growth of blood vessels that make us gain fat easier and promote the growth of tumors. And, of course, after mushrooms, we're talking about onions. Onions are an incredibly, includes scallions and leek and garlic, the alum family, which has powerful sulfide compounds, quercetins, flavonoids. They promote the growth of good bacteria in the digestive tract. They cause a chemical reaction in the body to suppress cells from replicating and suppress, you know, abnormal cell DNA damage to cells to occur. Incredibly important. And, you know, we're talking here about people should be eating a raw salad every single day. And in that raw salad, they should be shredding some raw onion on top, fine red onion. You know, we're making a dressing with sun-dried tomatoes and garlic and almond butter and fig vinegar. You know, putting the garlic and onion and tomatoes, you know, into, and the little nuts like walnuts or, you know, or sunflower in the dressing. Okay, the next thing, of course, is beans and berries, the resistant starches in beans, the phenols and then the flavonoids, the polyphenols in berries. We're talking here about all these foods, and if we put together a diet style, a style of eating that incorporates, you know, dips and dressings with nuts and seeds, berries and tomatoes and sauces, green vegetables and salads, cut up onions and mushrooms and soups, and if we utilize modern nutritional science, we could win the war on cancer dramatically in America today. People have this belief system. It's like a fairy tale. They think we're going to give money to breast cancer research and we're going to support and make breast cancer awareness, and people are going to give money to drug industry for research and we're going to come up with a magic pill that's going to wipe out breast cancer. That's a fairy tale. It's nonsensical. But the point is, every woman in America has to know that we could win this war right now. Doesn't everybody know that women who eat a mushroom every day can reduce the risk of breast cancer just from mushrooms and onions by more than 60%? Just from that one change alone.
And the cruciferous vegetables, every study, and I have accumulated about 1,500 peer-reviewed studies on the cruciferous vegetables, show that the more cruciferous vegetables you eat, the higher the concentration in your body, the less chance of cancer, especially breast cancer and colorectal cancer. And we just have to get this information out, but that's competing with the other food industries out there, that the hamburgers, the hot dog, the french fries, and they're the powerful people who have the lobbies, who have the donations that keep this information from being a national policy through our U.S. Public Health Service, FDA, CDC. But you know this, I know this, and this audience knows this. The rest of the American public doesn't, so we have to share that. By the way, Joel, did you get a copy of Death by Medicine?
The video?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay,
thank you.
That's just out now also. Joel Fuhrman's in that film, and thank you for being in the film, Joel.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, we know that, you know, antibiotics increase the risk of cancer and autoimmune drugs increase, even some blood pressure medications. You're right, is that medications actually and access to physicians and taking more drugs increase your cancer rate. And people, you're right, we're on a mission together. We're a shared mission to get this information out to the public so they can take control of their health destiny.
We're all working together. This is the we time in our lives, not the I time. And I thank you for being there as a part of this family of individuals who are sharing positive information that can change a life. Dr. Joel Fuhrman, Fuhrman. He's a board-certified physician. He specializes in preventing and reversing diseases through nutrition, natural ways, and he's one of the few alternative medical physicians in the country that that really lives it. And Joel is, like myself, a vegetarian. I'm a vegan. Are you a vegan, Joel?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, occasionally, but yes, I'm a vegan.
Okay, and he is the author of Super Immunity, the Essential Nutritional Guide for Boosting Your Body's Defenses. Thanks a lot, Joel, for being on.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Great to come. Best of, you know, take care, too.
And good, and we're up to the end of this particular program. I want to thank you all for listening. If you miss anything, always go to our archives. Every program is archived, generally within an hour or two. And a quicker way for many of you to get up and listen and watch videos. And remember, we have thousands upon thousands of articles. We're categorizing by topic. So there's no reason just to be angry today. The New York Times says, yeah, all the protesters are angry. You think that there's a legitimate reason? Yeah. Thank goodness they're out there being angry. Now where do we go with our anger? Take that anger and look at all the different organizations and people who are helping to channel that into positive social change. There are thousands. You have the libertarians, you have the constitutionalists, you have the patriots, you have the Green Party. You have so many different environmental organizations and human rights organizations. There's no shortage of places that you could align with that anger and see something positive come from it. So we are trying to set up all the different organizations to let you have access. We're providing a service free to the public. We're going to be putting over 1,000 different documentaries of individuals up there so you can see the most progressive documentaries and then their organizations so we can, united, we can make a difference and are making a difference. They're getting this message. Oh, yeah, you can bet on it. And thank you all for being in Huntington, Long Island. We packed the house there. Lots of positive input. Up in Woodstock. Yeah, a lot of you are aging hippies. Man, you got to get on a diet and get some exercise. It's like the town that time forgot. 30 years has passed. Time to emerge and become really proactive on these issues. Out in New Jersey, all of your community leaders that I met with on Saturday packed out there. Thank you for being there. And all this week, all the lectures at night, I'm sorry, they're all sold out, but it's always with groups who are doing something positive to make it a better world. We're going to say goodbye to all of you who have to go. We have one more hour left for those of you who don't.
The Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride. And the program director is Jason Tappenfeld.